Today on Family Talk.
Thankfully, the abortionist was not on duty when I came into the world. Had he been at work on April the 6th at 6 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't be here because he would have ended my life. But a nurse called an ambulance and had me transferred to a hospital where I was placed in an incubator weighing 2 pounds.
You know, someone once pointed out that of all the patients who walk into an abortion clinic, only half of them come out alive. Thank God today's guest beat those odds. Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and we are continuing our week-long celebration this week on the sanctity of human life. Here at Family Talk, we believe that all human beings are created in the image of God, and that every life is sacred and worthy of protection from the moment of conception right up until natural death. Abortion, of course, is at the very core of the life issues affecting our culture today. And even though some people say that abortion is, quote unquote, just a political issue, the sad truth is this. Almost 1 million babies are aborted every year in this country, and every one of them was a human being who had the right to life. Our guest today will help us put a human face on this issue. Now, in 2007, the United States Supreme Court upheld the ban on so-called partial birth abortions and ended that evil practice. Shortly after that time, Dr. Dobson interviewed 2 women who were affected very personally by abortion. We want to revisit this conversation today, not just to hear their stories again, but also to highlight the sort of life-affirming policies that we might see in this country if we continue to elect men and women who will take a stand and fight for the lives of unborn children. Now, before we get started, let me caution parents that this discussion at times is going to be too graphic for younger children to hear. So you might want to distract them if they're listening to the radio, or you can listen to the program later. You can either do so on our website at drjamesdobson.org or by using the Family Talk app. Here now is Dr. Dobson welcoming Gianna Jessen and Jill Klopfenstein to today's edition of Family Talk.
Oh, you're being used by the Lord all over the world, and I am so proud of you. You're speaking in the UK and all across the United States and really in places around the world, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. The Lord just seems to be opening up doors for the gospel.
And you're making use of those opportunities for Him. You were in 5 airports yesterday.
Yes.
You don't look tired enough to have done that. So,
I had to learn perseverance a long time ago.
Do you like to travel?
I do, because there's so much to learn from people. And I find that a lot of times we have an airplane ministry where, God will set people in your path, and it's just to share Him with them. Yeah. So.
Well, we heard your story 13 years ago. There'd be a lot of people listening to us today that don't know it, and we're going to review it again and then see what's going on in your life now. Before we do that, however, I want to introduce our other guest. Jill Klopfenstein is here with us. Did I pronounce it correct?
You did great.
Yeah, and she has her own story to tell. She and her husband, Terry, have adopted 11 children.
Yes.
And 7 of them are still at home.
Yes.
And I think all of them, all of these children, were abused one way or another. At least they were not cared for during the prenatal period. Their mothers were on drugs.
Right. Yes. They were, all the children in our home have been neglected or abused in some way.
Why would you do that, Jill? Why would you bring this very difficult assignment into your own home?
I don't see it as difficult. The Lord prepared me many years ago. I always had a heart for the downtrodden, the runt of the litter, the ones that people would just push aside because they were too difficult, or they're not difficult. They're, as I tell people, when you take a child that has received nothing, and you give it care and meet its needs. It's like watering a dry flower. It just responds. It just opens up and makes your life beautiful.
Well, one of those children that you adopted is a little boy named Zachary, who is now 10 years old.
Yes.
And he's here today. He's on the other side of the glass in the control room. I had a chance to meet him a few minutes ago. And what a very, very special little boy he is. And we want to hear his story as well. Gianna, let's start with you. Let's go back to your own prenatal period and what was going on with your mother at that time.
Yeah, my biological mother, my parents were both 17, and my biological mother decided to have a saline abortion, which burns a baby inside and out, and then she's to deliver a dead baby within 24 hours.
Salt is what they inject.
Yes.
It's hard to believe. That still occurs, but it happened to you.
Yes, and so after 18 hours of literally being burned alive in my mother's womb, I was delivered alive in a Los Angeles County abortion clinic, and the world has never been the same.
That's an absolutely incredible story. Gianna,
I should be blind and burned and obviously not here because my medical records state on them born during saline abortion. So the Lord, when your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will take you up.
Mm-hmm. When you were born, was there an all-out full court press to save you, or did they just allow you to live or die?
Well, thankfully, the abortionist was not on duty when I came into the world. Had he been at work on April the 6th at 6 o'clock in the morning, I wouldn't be here because he would have ended my life. But a nurse called an ambulance and had me transferred to a hospital where I was placed in an incubator weighing 2 pounds. But at that time, it was perfectly legal up until August the 5th, I believe, of 2002 when President Bush signed into law the Born Alive Infants Protection.
Yes.
I met him that day, and it was fantastic. I just greatly admire him. But
he is, without question, the most pro-life president we've ever had.
Yes,
this man invited you in and celebrated your life.
Oh, yes, and he told me that I was sweet.
Oh.
And I'm trying not to cry, but for someone who, sorry.
No,
but
that's
for,
all right.
For someone who has not had a father, to hear that from the president, God bringing that person to affirm you. And to say that, and to say, and I'm not going to let you down.
Oh, my. And you also met Tony Blair.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah. That was just about a month ago.
And what was the occasion for you?
Well, I just end up in these places, and I'm Lord, you better help me. You better show me what I'm supposed to say. I was able to tell him that I was able to run the London Marathon on the balls of my feet 8.5 hours last year. And the reason I said that is when I tell the people of England that, they will listen to what I have to say. And then I said, I have the gift of cerebral palsy, and this is why.
See it as a gift.
I do. And a sorrow at the same time, both happening and my joy increasing. But I think the thing I wasn't expecting is to grow into a woman with cerebral palsy and face the shallowness of the world. Yeah. There are lessons to learn in that as well. And that I'm just now learning. But anyway, so
you see why I love this young lady. I mean it when I say I admire you more than I can put into words.
Oh, thank you,
Gianna. It is just amazing how the Lord is using you and others who will let Him take their disabilities and their shortcomings, because we all have them.
Yeah.
And we all have a whole list of them. I could tell you mine. You can probably see them. But how disabled are you?
Well, I have this limp, and just a limp, really. I have no physical pain.
Yeah.
I fall sometimes, and sometimes I fall with absolute grace, and sometimes not at all. And In those moments, I really do call on Jesus, and I ask him to kind of teach me, what is this about right now? There's something to learn in this affliction, and I want to know what it is. And here's what I've learned. This is, if we let him transform us through our suffering, if we almost embrace it, then our joy grows. It doesn't diminish, you know.
Gianna, do you ever indulge yourself in self-pity?
Yeah. There are days that I say, Lord, I want to be seen. I want to be seen as a... I don't want to be seen as a woman with a disability. I want to be seen as a woman.
Sure.
And I am, but not by most men in this culture, in this world that we're now living in, that worships perfection. And they have to grow to see that there's something that we can offer through our imperfections.
There's this Britney Spears, this Paris Hilton kind of value system that I despise.
And will that woman stand next to you when your house burns down? Will that woman stay with you when you have nothing to offer her except Christ?
Hmm. And in some ways, they use their beauty in ways that are harmful to the kids who don't have it.
And one of the things that I have a really difficult time with is and I'm not saying this on the air so a bunch of people can run up to me and say, no, you're beautiful. Oh, no, you're beautiful. I'm not saying it for this reason. I'm trying to invite you into my journey of growth.
Gianna, when you were here 13 years ago, I told you, you had the beauty of Jesus on your face, and you do, and you still do,
Thank you.
You've had it for a long time, and people can see it, and they can sense it, and you really do love him, don't you?
I know him.
Yeah. You know, there's still a lot of people out there that tell you that late-term abortions like this do not happen. They deny it. They deny that partial birth abortion really even takes place. And because the state or the country does not require that partial birth abortions be reported, people have been able to deny that it even happens at all. But we know that it does. And Gianna is living proof of that here today. Jill, let's talk about your story with the second half of the program.
Okay.
Now, you and Terry adopted these 11 children,
yes,
which is a house full, and
yes,
still have seven, and you're deeply committed to them. And as we said at the top of the program, you've brought Zachary to be with us. He's 10 years old. Tell us his story.
Well, Terry and I wanted a lot of children, and we couldn't have our own. So we went into foster adopt because we believed that if a child was to come to us, that we would not want them to move on. We worked through adoption agency and through social services, and they said that there was a little boy that was born, wanted to know if we'd be interested in him, that he had hydrocephalus. Mm-hmm. That was all that we were told.
That's the large head. And,
yes, water
too much,
on the...
Too much
I mean, I didn't even think. I didn't even call Terry. I just said, yes, of course. Of course we'll take him. Then I started praying, and I thought, you know, that's water on the brain, the large head, mental retardation. And I thought, that's okay.
Yes, and the doctor that was present at the time performed a procedure on him called cephalocentesis.
Right. So I went to pick him up when he was 7 days old.
Yeah.
We were again told nothing. It was not till the next week we went to a neurosurgeon's visit where they did an MRI. And then that afternoon we met with the surgeon. And this man was livid over the procedure that they did on Zachary. He couldn't sit down and talk to me about it. He was so upset.
Why did they do it?
Yeah. Well, what had happened, we didn't know the whole story, but what we were told was that when Zachary was in the stages of development that he had suffered a stroke from cocaine that his biological mother was doing. And that stroke caused the center part of his brain not to develop. So he's missing, they call the corpus callosum. It's the diagnostic name is agenesis of the corpus callosum. Center part of the brain is not there. That's the part of the brain that relays information from right to left. Crossing midline, being able to scratch your left ear with your right hand, he wasn't going to be able to do that. He wouldn't have any vision. He wouldn't have any hearing. This is what the doctors believed because of this center part of his brain not being there. And they saw that as just one large ventricle that filled with fluid, thus causing the hydrocephalus. This mother was on the street. She relinquished rights to Zachary when she was 6 months pregnant. And then at the birth, the doctors were telling her, well, he's not going to live long. He doesn't have much brain matter.
That's
what they told her.
And then the doctors performed this procedure on Zachary, knowing that it was going to cause his death. But Zachary lived. And then he had all of these health problems. And you knew all of that. And you knew it was going to be a long, hard road to raise him. And yet you took him anyway.
Oh, absolutely. How can you not want something that's living? You just, I mean, they're there. They need love and comfort. And I mean, I remember holding Zachary. He was so tiny. His head towered up, you know, from the birth process. It came up to a peak. He looked like a little cone head. We'd put a hat on him and he looked like the little glow bugs, you know, that they used to sell. And I'd hold him for hours.
I believe he is the only known survivor of that procedure.
Yes.
That we call cephalocentesis. He's the only one.
Right. It's called cephalocentesis or craniocentesis. And the reason they do it is to kill the baby. Yeah. The baby, when they believe that a child will not survive, they stick a needle into the head. They extract the fluid or the brain matter. Zachary actually had some brain matter extracted. It was at the tip of the needle, we were told, from his head. And that collapses the head, allowing a vaginal delivery.
How can an otherwise civilized society have such a lack of compassion for little human beings who are voiceless and can't take care of themselves and can't plead for their own lives? I don't understand that.
That was the amazing thing about what the Supreme Court read. The brief that was submitted to them addressed that very thing, that it's for these citizens that don't yet have a voice that we can speak for and say they are alive. They are alive. Now, they have the same right as you and I do.
Zachary played a role in the recent Supreme Court decision regarding partial birth abortion.
Yes.
Explain it.
He and Gianna were written up in a brief by Liberty Legal, and it was submitted to the Supreme Court. We went to the hearing in November 8th, 2006, and Zachary was strategically placed directly in front of Chief Justice John Roberts. He sat there for an hour and 40 minutes during these arguments, a 9-year-old, an hour and 40.
Unbelievable.
And when we got up, because they dismissed the first hearing before the second hearing started, we got up, we were walking out, and there were people we'd never seen before calling him by name. They knew of him and giving him high fives, this little boy. And he takes everything in stride. He's so cute. Yeah, hey, thanks, you know.
Gianna, you played a role in that same decision, didn't you?
Yeah, the wonderful men at the Liberty Legal Institute called me one day and said, "Hey, can we talk to you for a little bit? And can we use what's happened to you in this brief?" And I said, "Sure." And that's basically.
And so what? You were invited to be there in the audience? Or
no,
what?
No.
They just used your medical records.
Well, yeah, and just talk to me, basically interview style.
Interviewed by Congress, Congressional Committee, though.
Yes. Long time ago, against partial birth abortion when I was about 19, and then in favor of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act in a couple of years ago.
Do you know that I have been criticized for my applauding the Supreme Court for striking down this one method of killing babies? It didn't get rid of all abortion. I regret that. But why would we not celebrate the fact that no baby can now be legally killed?
I don't understand
in partial birth abortion.
I don't understand. You know, I'm in favor of all abortion being, gone as well. But
take what you can
get. What a victory. What a victory. And God bless you, Dr. Dobson. You are truly a hero. You are a man. You are doing what you are destined to do and be, which is stand up and be a man. But you know how to take it. Mm-hmm. You are brave and good, and you are such a healer to...
Gianna, you call me brave. You call me good. I look at you with tears in my eyes and say, how in the world have you remained optimistic and been determined to get out there and fight this battle the way you have? Jill, I'd like you to tell us what Zachary did when he found out how the court had ruled.
When that decision came down from the Supreme Court, Zachary, people were calling us, congratulating us, and Zachary would answer the phone and he'd say, yeah, I won my case at the Supreme Court. Just so childlike it was.
Zachary said that?
Oh, yes. He answers the phone and he says, yeah, I won my case at the Supreme Court. Just nonchalant, like it was expected. Oh, I want to live my life like that. Mm-hmm. I want to live my life like that. It's expected. All our prayers are answered.
I said this in a statement the day after that decision was released. That, and I hope this doesn't sound political, but it's really highly, highly personal, that these little children who have been subjected to the greatest brutality that can be imposed on a child. I mean, I don't want to, upset our listeners.
Sometimes we need to be upset.
Well, I think so. And just as partial birth abortion has been legal for all these years because of one man, President Bill Clinton, who vetoed the bill that would have banned partial birth abortion twice and was about to do it a third time, and it was withdrawn. Just as one man allowed it to continue, and he has blood on his hands today, another man, George W. Bush, has been instrumental in banning it, I hope, forever. Mm-hmm. We've been fighting this for a long, long time, and it has happened now. Why wouldn't we celebrate?
I think the thing that I'm most concerned about is, as far as our culture, and even among Christians, is to make sure that we keep feeling and don't grow cold. Yeah. Because now the arguments that you used to hear, it's a baby, it's a baby, it's a baby. We know it's a baby. We know.
Ultrasound has done that.
Medical science, they're doing all kinds of stuff to help children in the womb, where in the very same hospital, they're ending life and calling it a right. Well, if abortion is merely about women's rights, then what were mine?
That's a fascinating point, and it's great encouragement and great motivation to hear these stories about Gianna Jessen and Jill Kloffenstein's adopted son, Zachary. It is a shame we have to cut in at this moment right now, but I promise we will pick up right here next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and before we go, I want to leave you with one important comment. All of us here at Family Talk want to make it 100% clear that we are not condemning women who have had abortions. I mean, the Bible tells us there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And that's because God can forgive any sin, including this one. And I pray that if you have been affected by abortion, you will see us as allies to provide care for you and to do what we can to reach out to you. Now, on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org, we've included a link to help you locate a Christian counselor right in your area. You can call us if you'd like someone to talk to or pray with. We are here for you. Our number is 877-732-6825. And I urge you, if you're struggling with this pain, please reach out for help. And if Gianna and Jill have motivated you to get involved in the fight for life, one great place to start is with your local Pregnancy Resource Center, because they are often on the front lines of this battle. At drjamesdobson.org, we have a comprehensive list of pregnancy resource centers and clinics all over the country. They are far more plentiful than abortion clinics, by the way. And they're here to help you get started for the help that you need. So check us out at drjamesdobson.org for that list. And be sure to come back again next time to hear more of these inspiring stories from our guests right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.